Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a stepper transition from scratch, with that old-school jungle and darker DNB vibe in mind. What we're making here is not just a random riser or a cheesy build-up. We're building a transition that feels like it's actually playing the track forward. The drums tighten. The bass starts to step. The atmosphere gets smeared and gritty. And then the drop lands with real intent. That's the whole point. In drum and bass, especially jungle and darker rollers, the best transitions keep the low end disciplined while still creating movement and tension. We're going to use stock Ableton devices only, and we're going to use a resampling first workflow. That means we'll create musical material, print it to audio, chop it up, process it again, and turn that printed audio into the actual transition energy. That approach is powerful because once you resample, you're no longer just hearing separate parts. You're hearing interaction. The bass and drums are already fused together, and that usually sounds heavier than pristine layers ever could. Set your tempo around 170 to 174 BPM. That keeps us in classic jungle and DNB territory. Then make yourself a dedicated transition area in arrangement view. Keep it separate from your main loop so you can focus on the build without distractions. I like working with at least three lanes: drums, bass, and effects. That gives you enough space to shape the motion clearly. If you want, color code them too. Drums can be orange or red, bass blue or purple, and FX gray or white. That may sound cosmetic, but it actually helps you think faster while arranging. Now, before we build anything, think in bar logic. That's huge in DNB. A four-bar transition needs to feel like it's moving somewhere on purpose. The listener should feel the energy shifting every bar, even if the changes are subtle. In this lesson, we're building a four-bar blueprint, but I'll also point out where you can shrink it down to two bars or expand it for a bigger arrangement. Let's start with the core stepper bass phrase. Create a MIDI track and load operator or wavy-table. For that old-school stepper energy, keep the bass simple and rhythmic. A sine or triangle wave is a great starting point in operator. You want a clean low-end foundation first, not a massive sound design monster. If needed, add a small pitch envelope for a little bite, then low-pass the sound and shape the amp envelope so the notes stay short and punchy. A good starting envelope would be a very fast attack, a decay somewhere around 200 to 450 milliseconds, a low to medium sustain, and a short release. That gives you a bass that can speak quickly and leave room for the drums. Now write a simple one or two-bar phrase. Don't overcomplicate it. Stepper bass works because it's rhythmic and selective. Try something like root note, rest, root, octave. Then in the next bar, root, fifth, root, and a short pickup into the next phrase. If the key allows it, you can use a B2 or another tense interval for a darker flavor. But keep the pattern fairly minimal. This is not about harmonic movement. It's about motion and attitude. One important thing here: keep the sub mono and centered. A width should come later, and it should live in the harmonics, not in the actual low end. If you want a little movement, we'll build that through filtering and resampling, not by widening the sub itself. At this stage, add a bit of groove if it helps the step feel, a subtle swing from groove pool, maybe around 54 to 58% groove amount, can give the pattern some human push and pull. But don't overdo it. Too much swing and the phrase starts losing that precise DNB snap. Next, let's darken the bass tone a bit. Add a chain with saturator, auto filter, drum bus, and maybe utility at the end. Saturator is great for adding harmonics without wrecking the bass. Keep the drive moderate, maybe around 2 to 6 dB, and use soft clip if needed. Then put auto filter after it and use a gentle low pass curve. We're going to automate this later, so don't make it too extreme yet. Drum bus can add that little bit of bite and density. Keep the drive modest and use crunch carefully. We want edge, not destruction. Leave boom mostly off unless you're intentionally shaping the sub in a very controlled way. Utility at the end is useful if you need to force the bass back to mono. Now automate the filter cutoff over the last two bars of the transition. This is where the tension starts really tofting. You can open the cutoff from a darker point, maybe somewhere around 180 Hz, up to a more vocal, harmonically rich area around 1.2 to 2.5 kHz, depending on how aggressive you want it to feel. If the bass starts getting too obvious, automate only the harmonic layer, not the pure sub. That's a classic DNB move. Keep the low end stable while the upper harmonics start speaking louder. And that's the key concept here. A great stepper transition is often about contrast, not complexity. The sub stays steady, and the top layer evolves. That creates the feeling of energy without losing the foundation. Now bring in the break. Use a classic break or your own drum loop, and don't treat it like a loop that just repeats. Treat it like raw material. If it's already audio, great. If not, print it and start chopping. In old school jungle, the break is alive. It has ghost notes, little timing imperfections, and tiny fragments that make the groove feel human. Don't quantize everything into total perfection. Let a little skid and dirt remain. Slice out the main backbeat, some ghost notes, and a few fill fragments. A nice trick is to add quick retriggers before the transition really lifts. That makes the drums feel like they're tightening up and getting more urgent. You can clean the break a bit with EQ8 if needed. High pass out any low junk that's clashing with the kick and subzone. If the mids get boxy, a small cut somewhere around 250 to 500 HC can help. Drum bus can add a bit of transient snap, and glue compressor on the drum bus can help the kit feel together without flattening it. Keep the compression gentle. We want glue, not pumping chaos. For the final bar, add drum fill. It doesn't have to be huge. In fact, a subtle fill is often more effective than an overblown one. Think extra snare hit, chopped kick pickup, short tom, rim shot, or a reverse break stab leading into the drop. This is the moment where the transition starts stepping forward instead of just rising. Now comes the fun part, resampling. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm it, then record the last four bars while the bass, drums, and automation are playing. This is where the magic starts to feel real. Listen for the best moments. A good bass hit landing with a break transient, a gritty filter movement, a weird little interaction between the kick and the bass, or even an accidental texture that sounds cool. Don't wait until everything is perfect before you print it. In fact, slightly messy passes are often the best ones because they have more character. Once you've recorded a pass, drag that audio onto a new track and start cutting it up. This printed material is now transition gold. Split it into half-bar chunks, quarter-bar stabs, and even tiny 8th or 16th note fragments if you find useful pickup moments. This is where you can shape it into a reverse swell, a chopped fill, a stuttered bass hit, or a pre-drop ghost phrase. If timing needs tightening, use warp, but don't over-tighten the whole thing. A little bit of movement is part of the vibe. The goal is not sterile precision. The goal is controlled energy with a bit of human drag. Now process that resample into actual transition effects. Try reversing one section and using it as a swell into the drop. Add auto-filter automation, so the sound opens from dark to bright across the last bars. If the section feels too clean, a little redux can add digital grit. Echo is great for short, dubby tails if you keep the feedback under control. Reverb can work too, but use it sparingly, especially on the core low end. If you want space, put it on the chop tops or the Atmos layer rather than the sub. A practical trick is to create a few versions of the same resampled idea. Make one subtle 2-bar lift, one stronger 1-bar fill, and maybe one short half-bar hit or stop-start moment. That way, you're building a transition family instead of relying on one effect chain to do everything. That's a pro move because arrangement flexibility matters. Let's talk about the actual handoff into the drop. The final bar should feel intentional. Not just loud, not just busy, but aimed. Remove some low percussion briefly, let the bass phrase either drop out or hit a pickup only, and keep one strong snare or break hit in the pocket. A short noise burst or reverse crash can help too. And if the track can handle it, a tiny pocket of silence right before the drop can make the next section hit way harder than another wall of sound ever could. Think of the whole build like this. Bars 1 and 2 are the groove settling into the idea, bar 3 opens things up and brings in the resampled texture, and bar 4 gives you the fill, the reverse swell, and the final handoff. Then the drop lands with contrast, not just volume. Now let's keep the mix under control, because transition sections can get messy fast. Check your drum bus first. Make sure the kick and snare are still punching through. If the break gets harsh, tame it with EQ8 rather than just turning it down. On the bass, heap the sub mono and watch for any weird facey width from effects. On the FX returns, high pass aggressively if needed, usually somewhere around 150 to 300 HE. So the noise and swells don't fight the low end. This is important. If the transition feels loud but weak, the problem is often clutter in the low mids, not lack of volume. So before you reach for the master fader, look at the 300 to 800 HC region and clean up the mud. Also, do a mono check. A transition can sound massive in stereo and then disappear in mono if the bass and effects are too wide or too smeared. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't overfill every beat. Bass is part of the groove. One or two strong gestures usually hit harder than constant motion. Second, don't let the sub get washed out or wide. Keep it centered. Third, Don't drown the bass in reverb. Reverb the chop tops or Atmos instead. Fourth, make sure the arrangement still makes sense in 4-bar logic. The phrasing is what makes the whole thing feel DJ-friendly and pro. Here's a useful mindset shift. Think in contrast, not complexity. A tiny change in note length, drum density, or filter movement can make a bigger impact than adding another synth layer. Also, keep one element stubbornly steady. Maybe that's a sub-pulse, a rim pattern, or a hat tick. That steady anchor makes the rest of the transition feel intentional instead of chaotic. If you want to push this further, there are a few advanced twists you can try.